The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right, Barstool Big Cat, brought to you by our great friends and partners, R.J. Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. If you need a personal injury attorney, give R.J. a call, 312-321-1111.
I think he may have a personal injury after the tightness of that bathing suit I saw him in this weekend.
He was at Circa, wasn't it?
Did
they see him at the pool at Circa,
yes.
Stadium Swim?
Yes.
Big Cat, you were in Vegas this weekend, yes?
I was in Vegas. I don't like what you're doing there, Waddle. I clearly quote tweeted that and said, please delete this from the internet. And you just didn't do that.
You didn't listen
to me.
No, I did not. Are you still, like, feeling the effects of a bathing suit that fit that tight or was riding that high?
Listen, I'm not really well put together right now. It's football season. I'm like an offensive lineman during football season. I have to keep the weight on. But, yeah, Vegas was good. I didn't lose all my money. I did okay in Vegas. We were there calling the Canelo fight, so it was a good weekend.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh,
Waddle looked, turned to me, and he goes, hey, did Big Cat have a better weekend than last weekend? I go, it's almost impossible to have a worse weekend than he had last weekend.
It is. I actually had a historic run where, for Barstool Sports Advisors, giving out picks, I started the NFL season 0-11. Do you know how hard that is?
Yes.
Do you know how hard it is to be overlooked? Now, thankfully, I had the wherewithal to start fading myself. So I publicly was fading myself. But 0-11 is remarkable.
How do you fade yourself? Because I have suggested this for years because I've done these picks for the Sun-Times and never once, Big Cat, have I finished above 500. And I always tell people, if you want to make an investment, take all my picks and go Oppo. But then when I start thinking I'm picking Oppo, then I get all twisted up in my head saying, well, would I pick? And then I would normally pick this. Then I'm going to flip it. So how do you rationalize going Oppo?
Okay, so there's two ways. So I have the convenience of fading myself when it comes to advisors. We tape it on Wednesdays. So by the time we tape everything on Wednesdays. So we'll tape Thursday Night Football all Sunday, Monday. By the time Monday comes around, I watch the video and I'm like, that guy's an idiot, pointing to myself, and then I just fade me. So it's like a time capsule. The other way to do it, and it's very hard because I'm the same way. I've been gambling for 20 years. I know how hard it is to do because you play twists and turns on your brain. If you really want to fade yourself, you have to look at the entire board on Sunday night and just write down your picks, just total gut reaction, and then don't revisit it until like Friday. And then if you look at it and you're like, that makes no sense, that's how you fade yourself. But it's very tricky because you're right. If you try to do it the day of, you'll start doing mind pretzels and you'll end up just like screwing your whole self up.
I love it.
And knowing you, you'll actually do this, fade yourself, you'll go 17 or 16-0.
The one week that I've been right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's right, fun. Right, exactly. So it's fun because I did have a good bounce back week. I was good in college, decent in NFL. I just needed to prove because I have a lot of, you know, the haters come out of the woodwork and they're like, I'm making so much money just taking the opposite of you. So sprinkling in one good weekend every now and then is good because it's like, hey, you can't just fade me all the time. Most of the time you can, but you can't do it all the time.
Speaking of the time caps, I was listening to Pardon My Take this morning, hearing your immediate reaction to when the Bears game went final and hearing the roller coaster of emotions that you went through from early in the game when we thought, hey, they drove right down the field. I will tell you this, Big Cat, and I think I could pick you up with this, and Waddle found it very humorous too. I was at the game, and I went to the game with longtime Packers season ticket holders. So it was like not in a Bears section, and I observed their emotion and the way they feel about their team the whole game. And even though, again, like Aaron Rodgers is saying, they've won 104 of these games or whatever, and his record is this, I can safely tell you this, that the Packer fans hate watch their football team. They dislike their quarterback. They dislike their team. They know they don't have a real shot to win the Super Bowl. It's like a team that knows they're going to win, but not to the point of winning to a championship. They know they've missed their window. They hate their wide receivers. They hate their special teams. They hate the way Aaron Rodgers blames the other guys. You wouldn't believe the stuff that I heard. And here, all I want my guys to do is, like, get 100 yards passing.
Yeah.
Like, and this this fan base, Big Cat, it is safe to say that they hate themselves. And to me, I walked away out of Lambeau Field saying, you know what? You may have won on the scoreboard, but I've won in life. So forget you guys.
Take that.
Yes. I like this. So a couple thoughts off that. One, I really like hearing that because what the one piece that we can take solace in is the Packers own us. We know that. They beat us all the time. So, you know, prime time every year, whatever. You know, it's just it's always embarrassing. I thought Sunday night was only like a I called it a 3.5 out of 10 on the embarrassment scale. I know the bar is low because we've had some really embarrassing ones, but that wasn't I didn't walk away being like, oh my God, how do I like go on with my life? And then the other thing, it dawned on me, and you just solidified this thought. We are in a particular spot where the Packers are so used to beating the Bears. When this flips, and it will flip eventually. We might be 70 years old, but it will flip
lifetime.
Eventually. Yeah, it's going to be the sweetest thing ever. It's very similar to the Cardinals and the Cubs. The Cardinals just know, like, oh, every year the Cubs stink. We'll beat them. And then what happened? That was like the 2015-16 back to, you know, like beating them in the playoffs and then going winning the World Series. That was a worst-case scenario for them because they thought it would just never, ever happen. So, that's a bad spot to be in if you're a franchise and you're not winning Super Bowls and you're also like someday our rival is going to probably figure out how to put together a coherent offense and maybe actually compete with us.
And Big Cat, when it does flip, and I've told all my Packer fan friends this, the guy I went with is a Bear Packer season ticket holder. I go, you just don't understand how we have lived for years.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to kick yourself in 10 years from now when you do get into the bad run that you realize that these Hall of Fame quarterbacks don't grow on trees. Like one of the guy's brothers was like just ripping Favre and not for the recent stuff. He's like, he's the most overrated quarterback ever. And this was a Packer fan. I'm like, I would love myself one of those overrated quarterbacks who've only won one Super Bowl and threw a few extra picks.
Yeah.
They're going to kick themselves for not appreciating the sweet spot more. And they're going to be like, oh my, okay. Now I understand what Bears fans went through all those years.
It's a theme that we've been leaning on Pardon My Take this year because Hank, our producer, is a Patriots fan, and I've had to ask him. I for week one, I was like, hey, is Mac Jones the guy? And he was like, what do you mean? Of course he is. I was like, are you sure? And he paused, and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, this is my life. Like, I basically have a quarterback, and I constantly have to ask myself if he's the guy. And that's what every franchise has to go through of, like, is he the guy? I don't know. And having to deal with that is a terrible thing. And the Packers have never dealt with that in the last, you know, 30 years. The Patriots haven't dealt with it in 20 years plus. Like, so it's fun to watch other franchises maybe have to wake up and be like, oh, we drafted a quarterback and I have to, like, actually ask myself if he's the real deal.
We're all on the same page, though, right, at this point. Like Kyle Brandt said, and I know you have felt the same way. We're done with – I don't need to see this in prime time anymore.
Yeah, right? Kyle Brandt ripped me off. Kyle Brandt just repeated what I've been saying for five years.
Yeah. Big Cat, I gave you credit yesterday, by the way, when we were talking to Tirico. I was saying that that's something that you have been a champion of for years, that you want the Bears out of prime time, especially against the Packers.
Yes. Put us – that game – happens at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, it doesn't even register. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, who cares? Oh, the Bears lost by 14, 17, whatever it was. Like, oh, okay, cool. It's witching hour. Let's see what's going to happen on Red Zone. Like, that's, That's all I want. I want to just be in obscurity until we can actually compete with this team. And I don't think it's happening anytime soon because, I mean, speaking of the guy, where are you guys at mentally with Justin Fields?
Well, that's where I was going next. I'm patient. I don't want to jump to any conclusions. I think if you're somebody that says, despite some of the struggles, I'm convinced he's going to be a star, bridge too far for me. It's also a bridge too far for me if you're going to tell me he's a bust. It's just it can't happen that quick, at least my evaluation process. But when you watch an offense attempt 11 passes, I just, in my mind, I'm like, how are you ever going to go through the evaluation process if this is the offense that you continue to run? So the hope is that it changes.
Right, and that's kind of where I'm at because the 11 passes thing, I know that people are like, well, some of them, you know, might have been scrambles, whatever, you know, checked out of them. We did this with Mitch.
Yeah.
These guys, you know, the team, so you have to jump from logic to logic here. The theory is you trust the coaching staff, which I guess I do because they're new and they haven't given me a reason not to. They evaluate him all week. They know his strengths and weaknesses. They go into a game plan saying we got to throw it 11 times. That is a cause for concern.
Yes.
Because it's basically saying there's not a ton that he can do and we're not really comfortable scheming up things, you know, ball out quick, you know. And again, this is also just a lack of offensive talent. You see what's happening in Miami. See what happened in Philly last night. Those franchises have young quarterbacks. And they said, let's put the maximum amount of talent around them. And, of course, they're going to look a lot better than Justin Fields. But the 11 passes makes me a little concerned. I have to be honest with everyone that I was sitting there being like, huh, are the Bears running the triple option? Because I don't think they are, but I think Army had more passes on Saturday.
You know, and I get it with the weapons, and I definitely want them to surround him better too, Big Cat. I'm nervous. That's the way I've claimed. I'm not jumping off of any bandwagon. I still believe in him. It's kind of what I texted to you and Waddle a week ago, and then all of a sudden he had the big play to Pettis, and it sort of settled us down, at least settled me down. But it's the ones when he's in the pocket and he's and they are protecting for him where he doesn't see the receiver or he's not on the same page. And he just makes – he's not processing, and it makes me nervous.
You're exactly right. It's the throw. You want to see more throws with anticipation, where the guy isn't open, but he's about to be open, and the ball's already out. Like, you want to see more of that to be like, okay, this seems to work. Now, I also will say, I'm completely on board with what the Bears front office and Ryan Poles is doing this year, because you remember, in the spring, there was a big push to try to get him more weapons. And Ryan Poles, I think, smartly said, no, we're not going to just spend a ton of money and throw a bunch of things at this team that's not ready to compete, that has holes. Let's evaluate Justin Fields, and then we will go from there. So I'm on board with that. But it does – the whole thing is – I'm starting to question things, and I don't like it. I don't like where I'm back at, where it's like laying in bed at night, staring at the ceiling, being like, is Justin Fields the guy? So those are – and we've done this. We've done this our whole lives. Like, that's just, I know the feeling because that's just the natural state of being a Bears fan.
I was going through the mental gymnastics with Waddle before the show saying, and this was my thought yesterday, is I can't do this again. I can't go through another draft and talk myself into Trubisky. Go through another draft and talk myself into Fields. Go through another draft, you know, and talk, or Cuddy all those years, talking myself into Cuddy. It's going to work out. It's just that's our, you know what I mean? Like, I am so exhausted. This has to work. I can't do this again.
Yeah, you can, and you will. He probably isn't the guy.
Come on now.
No, I'm not going to say that. But I listen. I've had that thought, and then I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I like. All right, Bryce Young looks pretty good at Alabama, huh? That's interesting. Like, you can and you will do this again, need be. And I think Sunday is like, it's gonna tell us a lot about what this Bears team is, because the Texans should be a beatable team, and if they don't win this game, we're now back into, you know, all that sliding in the end zone week one and how great it felt. We're back into, are they maybe one of the bottom four teams in the NFL? Because they have to win this game.
Well, if Lovie's defense shuts down Fields and the Bears, and David Mills is spinning the football,
yeah,
we're going to be a wreck on Monday.
You're going to be asking yourself questions again, staring at the ceiling. There's no question about it.
Like, a mess.
It's interesting, too, because there's so many exciting things happening offensively, even with average teams. But I was watching the Patriots-Steelers game, and I swear to you, I thought about going outside and cutting the lawn with a pair of scissors instead of watching the rest of that game. Have we gotten to the end of Mitch in Pittsburgh as well this quickly?
Yeah, and I sit on Sundays with Steelers fans next to me, and they're like, come on, Mitch. Like, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I don't think so, guys. Like, this is what he is. Like, nice guy. I root for him. I'm going to keep rooting for him. But, yeah, you're kind of seeing the Steelers are running the same offense they ran with, like, a 50-year-old Big Ben last year, where all the passes are at the line of scrimmage or dump offs. So, yeah, that game was torture. That game was tough to watch, and the Steelers are another franchise where they're going to have to play the game of they've had the quarterback for 20 years, and now they got to play the game.
Hey,
is Kenny the guy? Is Mitch the guy? Who's the guy?
Hey, completely unrelated. Are you afraid of AI, and will it end our universe?
Wow, did you take a fork in the road?
I get tired of talking about crappy football players.
What? In what sense? I mean, like, Jeff Bezos
robots.
Owns our lives. Jeff Bezos will own all of our lives. Yeah.
Like, I was reading a story earlier about how, like, those that cover AI are now concerned and convinced that at the end of our civilization will, in fact, come at the hands of robots that don't behave.
That destroy us. Yeah.
No, that definitely will happen, but I don't think you can, like, what are you going to, you can't be upset about it. It just is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know, but are you expecting that to happen in your lifetime, or?
I could see it. I think that Amazon, like, the fact that Amazon got the NFL, we were joking, like, when you're watching the thing about having Amazon and you have to watch Thursday Night Football, you're stuck watching the commercials, and we were joking that, like, Jeff Bezos could just run an hour-long commercial, and we would just sit there, like, drooling, being like, is football coming back on? Like, when's the football coming back on? So he's found the, like, last piece of, like, humanity, guys sitting and watching.
You think he's taking steroids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he's taking the good stuff that doesn't hurt you. Like, he will live to 120 being jacked. But, Jeff Bezos was like, oh, what's the key to, like, capturing the minds of every male in America between the ages of 18 and like 75. Oh, we'll just take football from them and then slowly shove Amazon commercials down their throat until they become drones for me. So I'm okay with it. As long as they keep playing a little bit of football, I'm okay with it.
Speaking of streaming, how do you guys feel about this? The Apple TV thing. I don't know if you guys are aware, but Judge could break the record with one of their games. I think it's scheduled for Friday or something. And their game is on Apple TV. And a lot of people have said, hey, that should be a game that they should put on nationally to sell it for the game. But isn't this exactly what Apple wants?
Sure.
If you don't have Apple, this could get people to subscribe because they must watch this game that Aaron Judge could break or tie the record.
Yeah, and it's perfect baseball, like, that this could happen on Apple as, like, way to stay relevant baseball. I'm rooting for it. I put a bet. I had a plus 450 bet at All-Star Break that he'd break the record. So I've been following it closely. That's kind of, like, the only thing that I've been able to get into. So I'm hoping for him to break the record. I think he will. If he doesn't, it would be kind of tragic.
Do you know who's second in Major League Baseball in home runs?
Schwarber?
Yes, 39.
He's sort of lagged a little bit in the second half, though. Like, he was so hot.
Still 39 dogs.
Right, I know.
Yeah, 40 home runs is nothing to snuff at.
Yeah.
Did you see, I don't know if KFC tweeted it out or sent it to you, did you see the Vogelbach picture where the Mets are celebrating? They're all, like, posing, and then there's Vogelbach sitting in his in locker stall on his phone looking very disinterested.
And very large.
I didn't, but that – I've been telling all the Mets fans in our office, like, Vogelbach is – like, if you're worried about the Mets, Vogelbach is the type of guy who wins a World Series. Like, he's the type of guy that you need – every team needs a guy like that, like the pudgy guy that everyone rallies around, because he'll get a big hit in a big playoff game and become, like, one of those cult classic guys. He's central casting for that. You know what I mean? You can see it in your mind, like, in October, he gets like a big double and he's rounding the bases and fat going everywhere.
Yes.
And the Mets win.
Yeah, I see it too. Absolutely. And then one other thing I wanted to ask you about is Arians, circling back to football, because I know he's your guy. What was he doing on the sideline during the whole Tampa game? He's not coaching. So, why is he on the sideline?
So I guess, and I kind of like this, the Saints and the Bucs have such a heated rivalry at this point that the Saints didn't give them a suite to sit in. So if you notice, next to Arians was also Jason Light, the GM for the Bucs. So they didn't even get – they weren't given seats in the stadium, so they had to be on the sidelines. And then you see – that clip when Mike Evans goes and fights with Lattimore, Bruce Arians, Mike Evans was Bruce Arians' attack dog. He was like, go in, go get him. They're going after Brady. It was great.
I wish Arians had that shoulder harness where he keeps all his stuff, like his drinks and his communication devices and everything he had as a coach. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have. Hey, listen, by the way, speaking of old coaches, so I think we're going to have Lovey on Thursday for Friday's show. What should I ask him?
Are you worried, though, that he's just going to be boring?
Yeah. Oh, no. Am I worried? I know he's going to be boring. He's Lovey Smith. What are we talking about?
That's what I mean. Like, what do you ask Lovey?
Like, ask him something about his beard. Like, it's majestic as hell.
The only thing I can think of that, like, maybe could get a smile out of him is just being like, do you take a little bit of pleasure in the fact that the Bears fired you after a 10-win season and they've literally not been good since, besides 1 year?
Is there a curse of Lovey Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, like doesn't that make you, like, it's got to give you a little bit of pleasure knowing that, like, we, you know, you wish you knew the good old days when they were the good old days. Like, Lovey being fired, I remember it so vividly. Jay was on with you guys. I was listening at the dog park, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta go. Lovey's got fired."
Yeah,
I was listening on my phone at the dog park, and I was like, "Oh man, Lovey just got fired after a 10-win season." We all kind of expected it, but we didn't expect how bad it's gotten since, and the revolving door since. And outside of the 18 team, it's been nothing but bad football.
What was Jay's response? He was like, I think I need to go.
He was showing us his phone.
I think I need to go.
And then the crowd stood and cheered.
Yeah.
Because Lovey had been fired.
This game's got to mean more to Lovey. I mean, I know he's played against him, when he was the head coach of the
Means
of the
a
Bucs.
Lot to Justin Fields, though, too.
I mean, no, I know.
And I didn't ask you about Fields. Did you see that some fans are mad at Fields? Have you been into that at all?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't really see it. Like, it was a leading question, first of all. Second of all, it's one of those things that should be true. Like, the guys in the locker room should care about winning and losing more than the fans. I would hope, you know what I mean? Like,
it goes with the job.
They're the Bears, right. We're the fans. But it also is one of those things you just don't say out loud. Because fans are psychos by nature, and we do care too much. And so just don't say it out loud, but it's like, don't say the quiet part out loud. Just let it be, let it sit there. So I think he made a little mistake. It actually kind of reminded me of remember when Kyle said the fans shouldn't boo and everyone got upset at him and they're like, yeah, we should boo. You guys stink. Like, don't say it out loud. You know what I mean? Like, he was right in the fact that it's better when fans are supportive and don't turn on the team so quickly, but you can't tell fans how to act.
Right.
Because we're crazy.
I had more of a problem when people say, like Eddie Jackson and Kyle, about booing. Like, when you tell fans what to do, all that he was simply saying was, when someone shaped a question, hey, these fans are really upset about this rivalry, Justin's like, I just got off the field. I got my ass kicked on that field.
Right.
They only let me throw it 11 times. You think they're more mad than me? I'm pissed off right now.
As you get older in the league, you just come to terms with the fact that invoking the fans in any way, shape, or form is just...
It's a no-win.
Yeah, it's a no-win, other than just patting us on the back and being like, the fans are the most important part of our team and organization.
Patronize us for crying out loud.
Yeah, right. Tell us that we're the best and we'll leave you alone.
All right, send our love to Lovey, all right?
Yes.
I will.
Pull on his beard. Ask him if you can touch his beard.
It will be very boring, but I'm going to make something work. I'll try to get him I try to get him into some answer he doesn't want to answer.
Well, big cat, let me tell you.
ask if you could trim his beard just a little bit to keep some of his powerful.
Are you in? You're not in person with him, are you?
No, but it will be interesting if, like, I start asking about the Bears teams. He's like, I'm here to talk about the Texans and playing the Bears this week. Then I'd be like, all right, see you, love you, thanks.
No, you tell him I'm here to talk about your time with the Bears.
Yeah, right. I don't care about the Texans right now. You guys stink.
See you, Big Cat.
Thanks, Big Cat.
You're
right,
the best.
See you guys.
There's Barstool Big Cat. Brought to you by RJ Curcio and the Curcio Law Offices. If you need a personal injury attorney, give RJ a call. 312-321-1111. 312-321-1111. We do have news on Tony La Russa.
We do.
Before the big series on the South Side against the Guardians, we'll get to that coming up next.
Welcome back to Jewel Osco on Des Plaines and Milwaukee in Chicago. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87.
Got an update here from Guaranteed Rate, and I want to talk some Sox too. And then Len Casper is going to join us at 5. If you have a Bears thought, a lot of Bears talk. It's been mostly Bears today, mostly Justin Fields-centric offense. 312-332-3776. You know, we've had a lot of great people stop by and say hi.
Yes.
Here at Jewel Osco. And it's a beautiful day to broadcast outside. A lot of people eating the fantastic Connie's Frozen Pizza. Everyone is, too, when they say, if they've never had it, they're always surprised at how good it is. And I want to give a shout-out to Rick, who's standing right out in front of us right now. He's taking a picture, a selfie with us. Rick is from here, met his wife here, who is from Perth, Australia.
Yes.
And he moved then to Perth, and he has 6 kids, and he listens to us all the way in Australia. And he was telling us how far it is. He's been in Chicago back visiting for the last 2 weeks. He's been to the last 2 Bears game. The home game against the 49ers, and then he was in Lambeau Field. He's going to the Sox game today, and it's incredible. And Perth also, who's given us some background, is also the home of where Liam Hendricks is from.
Yes.
So he's a Chicagoan living in Perth with his wife, who is from there.
He says that Liam's personality is pretty representative of the people of Perth, so very kind of jovial and friendly and... which is cool to see.
We're going to be out at Cork and Kerry at the park on Thursday. We have a request in for Liam to see if we could see hook up with Liam Hendricks. So, and then that gets us right into the Sox tonight perfectly. So the update from Guaranteed Rate is that Tony La Russa not only will not manage in this series, but he will not be at the ballpark. He is yet to be cleared by his doctors. So it's like Rick Hahn has always said, like, we'll get to the bridge on deciding if he's back, you know, if and when he gets cleared. And, like, I don't know if we've gotten any more context, Tyler or Meller, on why he's not at the park. Because before he was at the park, if there's a concern with his stress level, like, even if he's there watching the game or anything like that. But this is sort of a change for what it was in the last homestand when he came back after the Oakland series.
Now, I don't know if it's just me, but I find it odd that there has not been a more definitive explanation for what the plan is between now and the end of the season. What, they have 15 games left?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like...
Well, it sounds like he's not coming back.
Well, then just tell everybody. I mean, what's the difference?
I'm with you.
You know?
Well, Miller, what were you saying?
Yeah, the last update I remember was when, remember, Tony La Russa was actually on the field in Oakland for Dave Stewart's retirement. That was, I think, it was the previous Sunday when that was happening. I think that's the last time we got any type of real update in regards to what happened, but the only update was that he hadn't been cleared yet, so it's kind of in a holding
pattern. Remember that, I forget which homestand was right after they got back from Oakland. He flew back with the team, and he was in the suite,
right?
And he was with the team in the clubhouse at home. So, like, he had been around the team in that series.
You win. They're not hitting home runs now because Tony has been away. Like, at the end of the day, these guys have finally started to play to the backs of their baseball cards. Regardless of who's on the top step of the dugout, it's more about the players than it is the manager. I get all of that. But right now, when you're in this sprint, you're trying to get to the end of the season ahead of the Cleveland Guardians. I don't understand why they just won't come out and say, look, for whatever, you know, the reasons are, health reasons, we're going to finish this season with Miguel Cairo, and here's to us continuing to play good baseball, and hopefully we'll finish ahead of the Guardians. I don't know why.
Right, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. The one thing I will push back on you, and Fred Huebner has been a big one on this, Cap's been a big one on this, about, like, you cannot really measure their success without Tony because, like, they've hit home runs. Here's what I would say. I've seen this too much watching baseball and other bad teams. Why is Elvis Andrews all of a sudden hitting home runs? Why didn't he hit home runs in Oakland the last 2 years, but he's hitting home runs now? And the answer is, it's a change of scenery. That with human beings, a change of scenery can create lightning in a bottle where you get a short-term surge. In my opinion, Elvis Andrews will not be this player next year if they do sign him. The change of scenery has done wonders for him getting out of Oakland and getting to a new team. It's given him new life. And in my opinion, with Tony gone and his energy out of the clubhouse, it has created a vibe where it's also created a change of scenery. Even though the players haven't gone anywhere, the scenery has changed for all of these players who are starting to hit home runs.
And shame on them for underachieving.
Well
for
I get it.
125.
But has Elvis Andrews underachieved with Oakland?
I didn't follow his.
He hit six home runs, yeah. I think. Like, Elvis Andrews, I think, has more home runs recently in the last few weeks than he has, like, in a year with Oakland. Well, why does that happen? Because human beings, there are certain things in baseball that you can measure. And it's become a game, unfortunately, where you want to measure everything. Everything must be measured in an analytical term. There are certain things with human beings that you absolutely cannot measure. But I've seen it too much with players when a Gary Gaetti struggles with St. Louis and the Cubs are in the race in 1998 and he comes to Chicago and he hits a ton of home runs because he's revived. And I feel like this White Sox team has been revived without that elephant in the room that was should have never been there to begin with for the last 2 years.
I would not dispute all of that word for word. What I would say also part of the equation is there's a certain regression to the mean, and it works the other way around as well. If Aloy is healthy, is Aloy going to go the entire season hitting four home runs? Or over the course of time when Aloy is healthy, is at some point he going to get hot and ultimately hit the ball out of the ballpark at times?
I don't know. I don't know that answer. I mean, like, they've done this too without one of their best players in Robert, who's been nothing. Like, they've been – it's not like they're getting star-studded performances now from their stars. They're just playing better and more lively. And I do believe – I've seen it too much while where – and people want to fight me on it, that they think when I say this that I'm blaming Tony, that it's only Tony. First of all, it's the fault of the organization at the top. I always have said this with the Bears, with every team, that it starts at the top. It was faulty logic to ever hire him to begin with, to bypass your general manager, and that speaks more volumes of what's internally wrong with that team. Who's in charge? When does Jerry make the decisions? When does Rick make the decisions? When does Kenny make the decisions? The players have hugely underachieved under this team. The players who should be major leaguers can't run the bases and also cannot hit a cutoff man. These are all player fault. But also, like under Mike McCarthy, when really good players are bad in Dallas, they're representative of what the leadership has brought. When you have a penalty, a team that is professional players that should be better, a lot of times they play to how they're coached. And I don't believe they've been coached or managed right for the last 2 years. I've got a lot of blame to go around, but I've seen too many teams in recent memory fire their coach or manager and get the bump because it's a change of scenery.
I get it. It didn't happen in Anaheim or wherever the Angels.
It doesn't happen all the time.
And I'm not suggesting, as I said, the first part of what I said was I don't know why they don't come out and actually just announce that they're going with Miguel Cairo from here to the end. At the end of the season as well, you're playing a Tigers team that isn't good to begin with and is now throwing guys at you that probably would spend the majority of their time in AAA. The only point I make, I agree with you that Miguel Cairo has given this team a bump. It's also about players who have an infinite amount of talent as well, finally finding a way to live up to their expectations as well. And all I'm saying is I can't give Miguel Cairo 100% of the credit for that.
Well, I'm with you on that. Yeah. And that's not what I'm doing, and I'm not giving Tony. But when someone says to me that, oh, they're not just hitting home runs because Tony's gone, well, it's been shown that change of scenery for players throughout all of sports they sometimes start producing at a different level when the environment around them changes.
We're still human beings that
are not measurable. It's like clutch.
And at the end of the day, they're still what? 4 games back and 5 games over 500. So you could still look at this team and say, this is who they've been for an extended period.
They are 14 and 5 under him.
That's true.
So, I believe that I really don't. Tony's not to blame. I don't believe they're 14-5 right now if Tony La Russa never left.
I think that's a fair statement.
That's all I'm saying. Like when people say that the manager doesn't matter, I believe the manager sets the tone.
Yeah, I think he does.
I believe management set the tone with the way they hired us and the way things have gone on. I believe it's been a poorly run front office the last couple of years. I don't believe Rick Hahn has done enough to improve this team. They haven't added, here's another personnel issue that has nothing to do with Tony. Like, when they keep adding to this team, or when they look to add, okay, they added Elvis Andrews. They added Johnny Cueto. They added Josh Harrison. Who else? They added some of these bullpen guys, Graveman and Joe Kelly. None of them are core guys. Like, the point of when you homegrown a team, you want to also go out on free agency and add another core piece that could continue to grow with that team. All they've done is
fill in gaps.
Plugged holes. And that's not a way to Rick has got to continue to build. And unfortunately, the owner doesn't like to spend a lot of money, and he won't go over the top. I see it too often with the Bulls. I see what the Celtics owner says about going into the luxury tax and this and that, doing everything with a championship, and then I see the Bulls doing nothing this offseason. And I say, is that an AK issue or is that a Jerry issue? Just like with the White Sox with Tony La Russa and with what they did last offseason. I think a lot of it's a Jerry issue. I don't believe that this is all on Tony. And I've divvied it up and I've always pointed the finger more at the players. But I do believe they've gotten a bump with Tony out of the
room. And I think that they should come out and just say, we're going to the end of this season as is. I mean, I don't understand their reluctance. So, I mean, fortunately for them, they found a way to at the very least stay in it. I don't know how far in it they are. If they could sweep the Guardians, then you're in it.
Yeah.
You're still a game back.
You got
to
sweep.
This is what you were supposed to do as well. You were playing. The only team that you've played over the last 3 weeks with a winning record is Seattle, right? I mean, you've played Cleveland once.
Right.
And you beat Cleveland. Cleveland threw a guy at you that had a 21 ERA, gave up 8, and lowered his ERA to 18.
And these are the ones that kill you. Even though it's hard to sweep a 4-game series, that 10-3 loss to Oakland. The 2 games against Colorado, one of them was a 3-0 loss. To Colorado, the 3 against Detroit, it was a must sweep. The opening game loss in 10 innings. Those are all so important against bad teams that you were forced into a situation where they were must sweep. And it's a lot to ask, but that's what they had to do in that
situation. At the end of the day, it has been a very frustrating and disappointing season that they're trying to save at this point. The clock is ticking on that.
All right, we're live at Jewel-Osco downtown on Milwaukee and Des Plaines. It's all brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Find the Great is coming up. Len Casper joins us at 5. Guys, this is a city full of Frozen Pizza fans. We know it's got to be great. And we count on Connie's to deliver authentic pizzeria flavor right at home. We're with Connie's right now at Jewel-Osco downtown. Connie's means quality. The Gazer frozen pizzas are made with only premium ingredients. And whether you have a taste for their famous cornmeal dusted thin crust, it's what Waddle and I are both eating as we speak with the pepperoni, or they've got their new crispy on the outside, soft and airy inside pizzeria style crust. Connie's frozen as you covered with restaurant quality pies you can cook on your own time. Find Connie's wherever frozen pizzas are sold and bring home the best today. Connie's real pizzeria flavor is in the house.
Welcome back to Jewelosco on Des Plaines and Milwaukee in Chicago. This is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza and ESPN Chicago.
It's a beautiful day today, nice and warm, a little cloudy now. Someone was telling me, though, it looks like the rain may go to the north.
I think it's getting where we live, not down here.
Right.
It's going to stay up by us, which I'm cool with because I want to see this baseball game played tonight.
Right. Yes, it's a must sweep. At least win the first two, but still, I just with the lack of games, I think you got to do, you know what?
Yeah, I think if you don't sweep this series, I mean, you're pretty much one foot in the ground, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, especially this first one,
and
too.
And the dirt's like, coming quickly. I mean, if you get out of here and only win two out of three, where are you at? You're three back still? So, I mean, this is, yeah.
And then they win the tiebreaker, yes, too. So then it's like Tyler keeps saying, it's like two games or a game and a half. Like, you have to beat them. Tying them won't do you any good. There's no overtime anymore if you lose this tiebreaker.
Well, so, time is running out for you as well. You're running out of games, and the Guardians have six at home with the Royals to end their season.
Yeah, and so, they played some good baseball. Terry Francona, that guy continues to do stuff for the Guardians.
They really didn't add anything either, did they?
No.
At the trade deadline?
They subtracted, didn't they, too?
And like the Twins went out and did some stuff, but the Guardians just remained status quo.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Len Casper. Then we've got Find the Great. Neller's got his waiver wire latest, so if you're off to a slow start in fantasy football, Meller is here to save the day coming up at 5:30. We're live at Jewelosco downtown on Milwaukee and Des Plaines. It's all brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza.